The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use the promo code THEGAME. Live out here at day one of SEC Media Days. 102.5 and 106.3, The Game's SEC Media coverage is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Greg Sankey just took the podium, so anything juicy from that, we will absolutely get to. Brian Kelly about to take the podium. My guy, close yes. personal friend, Brian Kelly. But today is D-Hop Day.
The How's Tennessee his accent Titans. These days? Has he worked on his Cajun accent?
Oh, it's a lot thicker these
is
days.
It?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, he was only in Baton Rouge for a couple hours, and he was already getting a southern accent. You can only imagine what a year will do to the guy. But today is D-Hop Day. The Tennessee Titans have signed DeAndre Hopkins to a two-year deal worth $26 million with incentives to get it up to $32 million. Not sure quite yet exactly what the breakdown is. Not sure exactly what the guarantees are. But year one, base value of $12 million with incentives up to $15 million. Now, D-Mace, you had a thought on the D-Hop, Treylon Burks marriage. That you think that this is a better deal for D-Hop than it is for Treylon Burks learning from D-Hop.
Yeah, I mean, Traylon's going to pick up tidbits, you know, from D-Hop. And I think, you know, I don't know how Traylon's study habits are, how you watch film. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, because D-Hop is in the film room now, then Treylon Burks is going to learn how to watch film. You just hope that he's been learning that as he's been in the NFL.
Right.
And it's only been going on 2 years now. But you hope that he's learning how to watch film. And a guy like D-Hop can only sort of help that in a sense. But when you're talking, you know, who does this ultimately help? It helps D-Hop for this reason alone. As you start to get older at that position, you hope that you have a counterpart that if things are not going well with you or if you're having a slow day or if you, it just may not be one of those days for you, that that guy on the side of you can pick up the slack.
Yeah.
That he can be a bona fide guy that can go out there. I'm not getting double teamed or anything else. If Treylon can be the player that I believe he will be, it takes the double team off of D-Hop. Now D-Hop gets to face more single coverage from the slot because everybody going into a game plan, the number one target will be, as far as defenses, other than Derrick Henry, will be stopping Treylon Burks. How do we stop Treylon Burks? Why do you think A.J. Brown and Corey Davis work so well? Because once A.J. started to prove he can play, defenses had to switch over, which left Corey Davis one-on-one a lot of times. And Corey Davis, I would put my money on him winning a one-on-one battle as opposed to a double coverage battle. But all the double coverage went to the main guy, which was A.J. Brown. It helped out Corey Davis. In this situation, if Treylon Burks can be the guy that the Titans believe he is, and I believe he is, it takes the pressure off of D-Hop from being the guy. Like, I don't have to be the guy. I can, a lot of coverage will be shifted toward Treylon Burks. I get single coverage most of the time. Not all the time, most of the time. I can operate differently from single coverage. I believe in my ability to get open versus single coverage rather than having a fight, a double team, a bracket, or something like that. Yeah, there will be brackets and double teams on D-hop, third and three, red zone. But for the most part, everything is going to be shifted toward Treylon Burks. How do we take away a Treylon Burks? Because he is the most explosive player, minus Derrick Henry, on your team. It's him, Derrick, Treylon, Chig, and then you hope it will be DeAndre Hopkins. But if Treylon doesn't perform the way we all believe he performed, it's going to mean for D-Hop not something good. Everybody's going to be tailored. The defenses are going to be tailored to stop D-Hop rather than Treylon Burks.
And he's at the age that you could probably do a better job taking him out of the game.
Exactly.
Now,
absolutely.
Than it was 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
Where everybody knew they were going to him, but he still was hard to stop him. Now, you said something in there, Derek, that I think is important, and that is where he lines up. Uh-huh. You've been saying this all along throughout the process, that as he's aged, he's going to play more in the slot. Last year, and CBS did a good job of breaking this down, 27% of his plays were in the slot, almost 73% were out wide. The year that that Tim Kelly was calling the plays for the Texans, 37% in the slot, the highest he's ever been. So can it work with him playing a lot in the slot?
Well, it can work, but it's all predicated on what Treylon Burks does and Chika Conquo, those two guys.
Because Burks can play in the slot.
Yeah,
right?
Burks can play in the slot. I think they want Treylon Burks more outside. Like, A.J. could have played the slot, but A.J. is such a dominating force that they want him to be outside. That's how they think of Treylon Burks. Like, you are predominantly our outside guy. Now, we may motion you in to be in a slot, but more than likely, we want a Kyle Phillips or a DeAndre Hopkins to line up in that slot to work the middle of the field. At this point in his career, I think that if you want to get high production out of DeAndre Hopkins, you got to put him in a slot.
And in the Tim Kelly offense, when DeAndre Hopkins was in Houston, he played a lot in the slot.
Yeah.
He played
30,
a good bit in the slot.
37.5%. That was by far the most he's ever played there. So my question is, if he's in the slot a lot, where does everybody else go? Like who plays outside?
Well,
Westbrook-Ikhine.
Well, here's the deal. I can get to a slot in various ways. I can get him as the inside guy in various ways. I can line up two by one where Kyle Phillips is in a slot. I motion a guy across the field, DeAndre Hopkins, or I motion, a Kyle Phillips who originally was in a slot. I motion him over. Now he becomes the outside guy. D-Hop becomes the slot. I'm manipulating the defense, I'm getting Hopkins in a position where he starts off as the wide receiver, the guy on the outside, but once I motion Phillips or Treylon Burks outside of him, now he becomes the inside guy. Now he can work from a slot position where that's what he wasn't there at the beginning of the play.
But that's how
they're going to be able to sort of disguise a lot of that.
But who keeps the defense honest on the outside? Who makes them cover?
Treylon has to be the guy that keeps everybody, because he's the biggest playmaker that they have. When you're talking about speed, height, strength, everything else, he's the guy that he has to be their outside threat. He has to be, because you're not going to ask D-Hop to be that guy.
And you say that you think that this is that D-Hop gets more out of this than maybe a Treylon Burks. And I look at it like I think it's really a quid pro quo. I think that DeAndre Hopkins is entering a situation where he doesn't have to be the only guy, because I don't think that DeAndre Hopkins is at a point in his career where he can be the one and only. He is your one. He is your guy. He is your go-to. He will come down with the ball, even in double, triple coverage. I don't know if he's that guy anymore. Or at least I don't think the Titans can rely on him being that guy. So you're right
down.
That it's you're spreading the love out a little bit. But when you spread the love out a little bit, it still takes some off of Treylon Burks.
No, it's not, because I'm just looking at it from this standpoint. As I started to get up there in age in regards to my playing career, I welcome the sort of entry of a Anquan Boldin, guy or Mark Clayton, guys that were a little bit younger than me, but Anquan had established himself as a dominant receiver in this league. So now we bring Anquan in. Now Anquan takes away coverage. You know, now you got to play it honest. Now it helps me as a veteran guy. You know, I've been in the league at that point maybe 4 or 5 years more than Anquan. Well, now you got to pay attention to Anquan. Now you got to double team Anquan. Now that leaves me single coverage. An older receiver getting single coverage, that's what we want. We don't want to have to deal with, you know, at 33, 34, we don't want to have to deal with double coverage. I need to have a receiver on the side of me that is going to take that double coverage away.
And that's what I think Treylon Burks does. It's a marriage of the two. I like.
Let's hope it works.
No, I like it. Yeah. No, I like the move. I like him here. But what I'm saying is, if we're saying, well, who does it benefit more? As a guy that has been in that position, it benefits the older guy more if I have a bona fide guy next to me. If I don't have a bona fide guy next to me, I can get the job done, but it makes it a little bit harder because now defenses are focused to basically take me out of the game or make it harder for the offense from a passing standpoint to operate.
And how big would this be if it works well to where defenses actually don't have 8 or 9 in the box for Derrick Henry? Imagine that world if you actually have a passing.
Oh, they always have eight men in the box.
See, that's the thing. Like that I do wonder, though. At some point, you got to have Derrick Henry not have to shoulder everything, right? You hope that he still gets the respect of the defense, but you burn defenses for having the eighth guy in the box so much that they say, man, I don't know. Because Derrick Henry, this is life with Derrick Henry, life for Derrick Henry. You know he's going to face the stack box.
Yep.
But if this takes the pressure off, that would mean so much, where you don't have to give him the ball that many times.
And
because he can't keep doing this year after year.
If they're stacking eight or nine men in the box, then a duo of D-Hop and Treylon Burks in the backfield might make you pay for that. And then let's say, you know, you take a few guys to pay attention to D-Hop, to do your due diligence on Treylon Burks. Well, then that alleviates the pressure on Derrick Henry. You only got so many men that you got defensively. And defenses aren't going to give appropriate attention to each of those three. So can you make defenses pay whenever they divvy up the defense? I think that's the question.
I would love to have Derrick Henry have a lot closer to 300 carries than over 350. That would be really nice to not have to just grind away time after time.
Well, if he could still be efficient in his runs, but then I know he would take a lot less carries and still be efficient,
right?
You know, and not
that's
have to
what
take, and take the, you know, the pounding that he has taken over the last 3 or 4 seasons.
Hey, the game summer ticket tour is headed to Bringle Smoking Oasis, located at 4901 Centennial Boulevard, this Friday afternoon from 2 to 6. Come eat, drink, hang, leave with a pair of Free Sounds, Preds, Big Machine, Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also, you can get signed up for the grand prize, Titans tickets, Predators tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Coming up next, I heard one thing, and then I continued to hear it over and over again from the ESPNs and the CBS Sportses of the world. This narrative that's going to continue. And while it's not wrong, it's frustrating, and we'll discuss coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Congrats to Tennessee on getting D-Hop. Did not expect that. Gives them a chance to win the South now if D-Hop is who I've grown accustomed to him being and Vrabel as their head coach. The more obvious thing for me is two things. Number one, it feels like a massive missed opportunity and loss for the Patriots and Mac Jones going into a huge year. Because just look at the division. They are worse than the division when it comes to overall skill talent by far, and bottom three or bottom four in the conference. So now you're going to expect your offense to have enough firepower to compete against the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills and basically everybody in the AFC, and you don't. And you also expect your quarterback to take a big step, and he's got not nearly the amount of weapons that other quarterbacks have. The second thing I think of is – There is tremendous pressure now on Bill O'Brien, their play caller, who's awesome, but also Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki. It makes me think that New England will major, not minor, not major in 12 personnel, one back, two tight end, and absolutely live in that because they don't have the people on the outside wide receiver-wise to really contend firepower-wise, scoring points with everyone they have to. So it feels like this is a big missed opportunity and loss for New England and Mac Jones. But if those two tight ends play together and they become one of the, if not the top two, three duos in the conference, they got a shot with great defense. But it's a lot of pressure on those two units.
That was Dan Orlovsky, his initial reaction when the news dropped. The Tennessee Titans had signed DeAndre Hopkins to a two-year deal worth $26 million, up to $32 million. But that was not the only national talking head that I heard have that take of, wow, this is bad for the Patriots. Damian Woody said something very similar on Get Up this morning. And this isn't unexpected, but still frustrating nonetheless, that I know that the national conversation with the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes is going to be more so, wow, what a missed opportunity for the Patriots, rather than, wow, what an upgrade for this Titans wide receiver room.
But they had more money, so they could have gone and gotten him if they wanted to.
Yeah.
I think if they'd have gone high enough. So I do think in the back of your mind, you have to say, what did the Patriots think? And, you know, we'll reassess after about six or eight games,
right,
whether that was smart to set the value, right? Is he going to live up to what the Titans paid for him? You knew that was going to be the case. There's
right.
So much New England-centric people on ESPN and on the national media stage. I'm not surprised at that part of it at all. But one thing he mentioned, Derek, that I thought would be worth discussing for us, you heard Orlovsky talk about how, well, now that they don't have him, they're going to have to go a lot of two tight ends. That sounds very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans have run a ton of two tight ends.
Right.
So now when you're thinking, hey, you know, they could go three wide a little bit more. They got some guys who could go with, like, Phillips in the slot, and, you know, they can move pieces around. Can the offensive line protect without two tight ends? I mean, it does come back.
Without
you can
Jeff
do a lot
Swain,
of things.
What are you going to do?
Well, but without the unknown of the offensive line, you could have all of these things. But if you can't protect the quarterback, it does limit what you're going to be able to do. And they're going to have to do it differently if they're not running as much Jeff Swaim and the two tight ends, right?
Yeah, I look at it from this standpoint.
Michael Pruitt.
Yeah.
You know, some of those old reliable blocking tight ends.
Right.
I think the Titans want to run. Because, listen, this is the way the NFL has been trending toward, you know, more passing, but not necessarily, you know, yes, we're going to pass to the receivers, but I think if you look at it, if I can have me two tight ends that are legitimate pass catchers, mm-hmm. I can create mismatches with those tight ends. That's why the Titans go out and draft a tight end that's, what, 6'5", 6'6", somewhere around there, that has the ability not just to block. Okay, we want you to block, but right. You are a threat down the field to throw the football. You put him with Chigakonkwo. Now we can spread the offense out a little bit. So I think more teams, if they have the ability, they would love to go to a double tight end, meaning I can still run four sort of quote-unquote four wides. Mm-hmm. I can spread those two tight ends out, spread those two receivers out. Now, essentially what I got is four wides because these two tight ends, more or less, are hybrid wide receivers. That's what they are. So, to me, I look at it, if Dan Orlovsky would have said the same thing had the Titans not got D-Hop, that was a missed opportunity. Why? Because both teams needed another proven pass catcher.
I don't think that he would have said that. I don't, because even though it is true, if the Titans weren't able to get DeAndre Hopkins, it would have been a missed opportunity.
Uh-huh.
However, I just don't think enough national media members view it through a Titans landscape. Titans landed D-Hop. His initial reaction, the first thing that he said was, man, that stinks for the Patriots, mm-hmm. more so than, hey, this is great for the Titans.
But I think those that really understand, like, what both teams potentially can be if they acquire D-Hop. Mm-hmm. People that really understand it, if the Titans would not, if New England signs D-Hop, it's a big loss for the Titans. if
totally
the Titans sign D-Hop, which they are going to, now is a big loss for New England. It's sexier to say it's a big loss for New England in the headlines. Because why? New England's that team.
And
Bill Belichick.
The opposite way, let's say the Patriots signed DeAndre Hopkins, all the talk would be,
Patriots hype machine.
Bill Belichick is back. Is DeAndre Hopkins what Mac Jones needed to be the next Tom Brady? Like, that's what would have been
reality,
the conversation.
But in reality, it would have been a huge loss for the Titans, too.
Totally. Uh-huh. But it wouldn't have been the conversation.
Exactly.
Not at
we
all.
We know it would have been a huge loss for the Titans. But that's not sexy to talk about the Tennessee Titans. It's sexy to talk about Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
Absolutely.
Even though I think as currently constructed, the Titans are a better team than the Patriots are. The Titans have better opportunity of winning their division.
It's not that the Titans are a better team than the New England Patriots. I think if both if the roles were reversed, if New England was in the AFC South and the Titans were in the West, well, is it the West? The AFC East. Even getting D-Hop wouldn't better their chances of winning that division because we know how stacked it is.
Right.
If getting D-Hop, if New England's in AFC South, it fits right along with the narratives of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weak division. Yeah, we think, and based on what was done last year, Jacksonville should win this division, but the acquisition of a D-Hop to that team make their chances greater to win the division. So I don't think it's necessarily which team has the better players. It's which team is in the worst division. Right now the Titans are in the worst division.
We said this earlier, but it bears repeating. The over-under after the signing of Hopkins went from 7.9 for the Titans to 8.3. So it's not this huge thing, but when you put that in the context of the AFC South,
it's big.
It's big because where it's different, like you could have a very balanced AFC East, right? You could have a deal where all four teams are good.
They could be cannibalistic in the AFC.
So that's the scenario where if you're in that 9 or 10 win range, you could still sort of be in the mix. What you have to hope is that Jacksonville doesn't become that real big time team that wins, you know, 11, 12 games, or if they take that jump. That's what's scary. But that was going to be scary either way. But, you know, I think the Titans still are in that range of, you know, win 10 games. I don't see the ceiling being much higher than that. Do you?
But 10 games.
Even
could,
after this.
10 games could do it.
Could.
Yeah, 10 games.
Or it could get you a wild card. You could sneak in as a wild card, maybe a 10-7.
I think from this standpoint, if New England was to have gotten D-Hop, what are they predicted to win now? Before D-Hop, they predicted to win, what, 7 games?
Well, 7.9 is what they had.
For New England Patriots.
For the Patriots, that's a really good one.
So I'm saying, New England, they're predicted to win 7 games in that division.
Yeah, what would he have done to that?
I think it still would have been the same, 7.9 or 8.0. It wouldn't have jumped significantly because we see in a weaker division, the Titans get D-Hop. It doesn't elevate them 3-4 games. It only elevate them a half a game, which in that division, a half a game may mean a lot.
Division last year came down to a single play.
So it may mean a lot.
Half a game could be, you know, could be massive. When it comes down to a hair, to a millisecond, it could be all the difference that you really need.
I'm seeing 7.5. Is that what you have for over-under?
For the Patriots?
Patriots over-under.
Let's
Googled it. That's what popped up.
See win totals.
I'm sure some people differ.
New England Patriots regular season wins 7.5.
Yeah. So
that's right around where the Titans are sitting, and that hasn't shifted a ton.
So have the Titans gone up? Like, what if you punched it in? What are your people saying on the Titans?
On this sports book, over under 7.5 wins. Under is at -120. Over is at -102. So the season win total hasn't shifted. This is now currently on the sports books, and I don't know what it was before, but I do know the odds to win the division went from like +300 to now +285.
The line
so
didn't move
shifted
much.
A bit.
It was -108 before D-Hop.
Okay, and now it's -102 to win 7.5 games. More than 7.5 games. So it's not a massive shift.
It's just the
nor
division
did I
they're in.
Think it was going to be a huge, massive shift. But at least in my opinion, your odds to win the division, and for me, in my own Caroline Fenton sports book, my odds for the Titans to win the division go up significantly with the D-Hop.
Well, do you guys, I feel like the 7.9 to 8.3 sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah.
As far as what he does. He's worth about a half a win.
Yeah.
I think
close to a half a win. I think that's a fair,
but that
logical
may mean
thing.
A lot. That means
that's a lot.
Means,
yeah,
it means something different in this division than it would mean in AFC East.
It might bear a little bit more
exactly.
weight.
Exactly.
And
absolutely.
Remember how many games are going to be really, really close, right? Where one extra first down, one extra big play, one extra time that you move the chains and keep it going on the winning drive. I mean, that's where he
it could be everything.
And maybe that's why,
where, yeah, that's
and
where
maybe that's why New England didn't want to sort of up their price, because even with him, it doesn't guarantee us a playoff spot. It doesn't jump us from winning seven games to nine games.
No, yeah. And I don't know if there's a signing out there that's not named Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow that essentially guarantees you a playoff spot.
I think if you get a Justin Jefferson or one of these other high-profile wide receivers.
Players available, at least.
Yeah, players available. Yeah. But there's nobody available that is going to jump your win total again. Nobody's available.
But
other
I think
than
that
quarterback.
D-Hop gives you the best odds.
Yeah, he
at least
gives
in
you
terms
the best
of
odds.
Players
Absolutely.
Available. We've got a bunch more texts in our text lines. We are right to those coming up next. TD Teron Davenport will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get his full breakdown on the Titans D-Hop signing. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by the NewsN Sports Sportsbook. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063 The Game.
Corey, what do you think this does for this Titans offense? How big of an impact do you think this has? How differently do you view the Titans offense with him coming in?
Well, I view it a lot differently, because now it gives them a legitimate target on every play. You know, look, he's another guy. You talk about differences between the Titans and the Patriots. You know, the Titans have guys that you have to prepare for now. You know, they've got Derrick Henry. You have to prepare for him. You know, you've got Jeffrey Simmons and Kevin Byard. You have to prepare for them. You know, maybe Treylon Burks becomes a guy you have to prepare for. But DeAndre Hopkins is another guy you have to prepare for every snap. So he's going to make those other guys better by the attention that he grabs, number one. Number two, he gives Ryan Tannehill a target who does not have to be open to throw the football to. And on third down, that's really important when the heat is on, okay? And, you know, we don't know how quickly this line's going to come together, if it's going to come together at all. And so Ryan Tannehill knows there's some place he can go if he's in trouble, and he has a guy who he is very confident, or should be, is going to bail him out. You know, I think it's good to move the chains a couple times a game, because you know you can get to him on third down.
As Corey Curtis is standing right in front of us. Corey, you're the best. Appreciate you. Great insight this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Absolutely. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Let's get into your thoughts. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I know that this is a text that is going to rub Corey the wrong way. One texter says, why is the national media so shocked that DeAndre Hopkins picked the Titans over the Patriots? They're making it sound like him going to the Patriots would make them playoff contenders. The Titans have a better quarterback and an easier division. I do think that at this point in time, at least in my opinion, does Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots brand bring as much juice now than it did a few years ago? Like, I mean, the Patriots haven't done anything since Tom Brady left. They haven't won a playoff game. They've been to the playoff once, and they haven't won a playoff game. If I'm a receiver and I'm looking at a young Mac Jones and a Ryan Tannehill is a much more attractive quarterback to catch passes from. If I look at the AFC South versus the AFC East, that's a much more winnable division. So it's a fair question to ask. Like, I don't know what going to New England would bring DeAndre Hopkins more than the Titans could give. Plus, New England is, like, not a very fun place to live. So, add that on top of the fold.
Yeah, I mean,
I've lived there. There's a reason why I don't live there anymore.
We both have kids that are going to school up in
Boston
now. I'm not going to say anything about it. I was born in Boston.
Boston is a good city.
But remember,
but
the
he's
Patriots
from South
aren't,
Carolina.
And the Patriots aren't in Boston, right? They're spending most of your time
Foxborough.
In Foxborough.
But it's still
which
cold.
Is, It is cold.
Still cold.
It's cold.
Not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, it's cold in Boston and Foxborough.
Exactly.
Cold everywhere up there. Yeah.
Not easy to get places, for sure. But I don't know. Look, this is going to be a topic for a while. Mm-hmm. I think after 6 or 8 games, I'm curious if this even scratches the radar of the national picture.
Mm-hmm.
And the only scenario I can see it really coming up is if the Patriots are really struggling.
Right.
Otherwise, I don't think people are going to come back to this. This is not a huge move in the context. It's a huge move because it's July and there's no player movement. And people have been sort of waiting for this shoe to drop for a couple of weeks. I think it's been for shows who are trying to keep the fire burning with some football talk. But in the grand scheme of things, as we said, this is not 2018, 2019 DeAndre Hopkins. The big question going forward is, what does he still have left? And I think it's fair to say Bill Belichick did not value him as a guy that would move the needle that much because they had the cap space to go as high as they wanted. They could have gone into next year if they wanted. That would have been much easier for them to do than the Titans. But they didn't go there. It's pretty obvious, right?
Right.
They were not as, quote, aggressive.
Aggressive. And Mike Reese reported after DeAndre Hopkins visited the Patriots that there was a $10 million deal on the table. So, if the Titans more aggressive at $12 million. It's not a $15 million with incentives up to $18 million deal like Odell Beckham Jr. got. But I think it's a fair shake for D-Hop, and I don't think it's a complete, cap wrecker for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, it basically, I think, we can all sit here and, whether it be from a national standpoint or from a local standpoint here in Nashville, we can all look at it and say, well, he went to Tennessee because, it's a better team and in a division that seems to be a little bit more winnable.
Mm-hmm.
But what it basically boiled down to was money. The Titans were willing to give more money and bigger a chance to achieve his incentives than I think New England was. Now it doesn't hurt if you're in a division that is a little bit more easier, a little bit easier to win rather than the AFC East. But it's still the fact is that I believe whether it be New England or any other team, if they're willing to give him the money or more money than the Titans are giving him, he would have signed with those teams. He would have signed with those very quickly, I believe. Because if he wanted to go to the Titans, he would have went to the Titans after he visited New England and said, okay, let's wrap this up. I'm going to the Titans. But it didn't happen. Why? They wanted to see if more people came in.
And I don't blame them.
And I don't blame them either.
Yeah.
He probably ended up jacking the price up a little bit too. By him waiting, because it did come out that the Titans were being more aggressive. We don't know what more aggressive meant, but it came out that the Titans were more aggressive. We can only assume, based upon the contract, that it was money-related.
And, yes. Another text in says, Treylon Burks isn't a number one yet. Corey Davis, to be picked fifth, wasn't productive till a number one played on the other side, and A.J. Brown, that was year 5. Now, without a number one to go alongside Corey Davis, with the Jets, he has disappeared once again. Signing Hopkins just takes the pressure off of Burks, gives him more time to develop. Hopkins will be our number one. You can't tell me Burks is better than even a 31-year-old Hopkins. He's hungry and worked out with Henry in the offseason. If there was no D-Hop, Burks could be taken out of the game 65 to 70% of games with a double.
Some things you just don't need to argue with or go back with. That whole...
You're just going to keep your peace?
I'm just going to keep my peace on that because I've said my piece on that earlier in regards to another question that was sort of formed in that same way. They just see...
Well, reiterate it for people who may not have heard it.
This... The notion that, that Treylon Burks, he's your number one guy. He needs to be your number one guy. His skill set at this particular juncture is better than D-Hop's skill set at this particular juncture, okay? I'm just calling it how I see it. I think D-Hop is still a tremendous receiver. I think D-Hop is, if he continues to put up good numbers, he should be a Hall of Fame He should get in the Hall of Fame based upon what he has done thus far in his career, and we just believe he's going to play at least another 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So he's going to add more numbers to that. But Treylon Burks' skill set, people, his skill set and what he's able to do is at a different level than what D-Hop is at right now in his current, where he currently sit. D-Hop at his peak, yes, was better than Treylon Burks now. No doubt. I wouldn't even sit here and argue that. But D-Hop right now isn't where Treylon Burks can potentially be, where he's trending. Treylon Burks, you saw when he was on the field, healthy, that this guy that this guy is a playmaker. He's a legitimate playmaker. He's a legitimate number one. I've seen it. I know what they look like. He just needs to stay on the field. That rookie year was a sort of like a blip for him. It was like it came and went so fast. This year, he's going to be much better. He has to be your number one. This offense will not work if Treylon Burks isn't your number one. That's like saying, oh, you know, A.J. when he first got, oh, A.J., he'll be fine. He don't need to be the number one. No, A.J. showed immediately that he was the number one. He needed to be the number one because of his skill set. He was a much more explosive receiver than Corey Davis. Treylon Burks is a more explosive receiver than D-Hop is right now. He needs to be your number one. I think it will happen. If it doesn't, this offense is going to lag some if he's not your number one guy. That's just the way I see it because of where these two individuals are at in their career.
And D-Hop at least provides you insurance.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Pre-D-Hop, if Treylon Burks isn't your number one, who else you got?
Exactly.
You got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Kyle Phillips, who is still unproven and couldn't stay healthy last year, and Chris Moore. Well, now, if Treylon Burks needs time to develop into that number one spot, well, D-Hop is your insurance until he can get to that point.
Yeah,
until he can get to that spot.
But this offense needs the passing game, not the offense, the passing game. Mm-hmm. If this passing game is going to be what the Titans hope it will be, then Treylon has to be, he has to show that he has that number one potential. If he doesn't show it, it's going to make D-Hop's job even harder.
And I think he has shown that he has number one potential.
Also, you got to think beyond this year. You have to think beyond this year. What does the team look like in 2 years? Burks is such an important guy.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond this year, what's best case scenario? Like, we're all excited now about, hey, maybe they can win the South, but they're in a really packed AFC. You know, at the end of the day, we've talked about this a lot. Like, they were in a window a couple years ago. We thought they could win the whole thing. They were the number one seed. Now we're just talking about a team that might max out and scratch out a weak division. But what the end game is higher, way higher than that. And ultimately, D-Hop is probably not part of that. Derrick Henry's probably not part of that. Ryan Tannehill's probably not part of that. So you do have to be thinking really about Burks and Will Levis and guys like that who will hope those guys take you into the next great Titans team.
And that's
right,
the
fair
idea.
To say?
That's the idea. And I think that's what the plan is right now is you're not tearing it down. You're not going completely the young guys, but you're bringing the young guys in, the future core, to replace your current core and easing them along. And whenever they take over those jobs, that's what they don't have to decide right now, which I think is the beauty of everything, is you don't have to say today that Will Levis is our starter in 2024. I think he probably will be, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen this season. I don't know if this Titans offense is top 10 in the league. Who knows?
Top 10. I would love it if they were 15. That would be great.
Even that.
Don't you think?
I would say this. If Treylon Burks isn't your number one receiver, people are going to have a problem at the end of the year. Because they're going to say, you traded away A.J. Brown, you drafted this guy at 15th, he should have been your number one receiver. If he can't be your number one receiver, they're going to say, well, it was a bad draft by Rand Carthon And, well, not Rand Carpenter. Well, that
was John Robinson.
Yeah, John Robinson. That was a bad pick by John Robinson once again. That's lingering. He's not even here no more. Mm-hmm. And it's haunting us again that he picked a guy after trading away one guy, picked a guy at 15, and it's not working out. He's not our number one. You draft a guy that high. Why? Because you want him to be the number one guy in your offense from a pass standpoint. If he doesn't materialize to that point, people are always going to look back and say, look what John Robinson did. He ain't even here. He drafted a guy that couldn't even be a number one.
Right back into your phones coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, TD, Tron Davenport will join us in 15 minutes. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, one of my personal favorite minor league baseball mascots, AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. 1025, 1063, The Game.
Checking in here with Pat and Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Mike, coach, I don't know if you heard the news.
No, I did know the news. I'm the head coach. I knew the news.
Okay, so you are.
I actually knew the news yesterday.
Wow.
Good enough.
So he was sandbagging us all day.
The whole nine. I didn't want to give it to him.
The whole front nine, we were asking, hey, D-Hop going to Tennessee?
We'll see.
Stop asking, yeah.
We'll see.
And Ben, congratulations.
Looks like it happened. Thanks, buddy.
That's awesome. Good news.
We got to play some golf.
Yeah, you got to play the Colts, too, two times this year. Welcome back to the AFC South, D-Hop.
Coach Mike Vrabel with the Pat McAfee Show. Out on the links yesterday, apparently. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel keeping it a secret under lock and key that D-Hop was headed to the Titans, but he's known. He has known. Let's get back into some of your thoughts. Again, DeAndre Hopkins signed to the Tennessee Titans on a two-year deal, $26 million contract, worth up to $32 million in incentives. And I have been scanning all over the Twitter sphere. I still cannot find the guaranteed money on DeAndre Hopkins' contract. And that's interesting to me, because whenever an agent doesn't want to report something, it's not reported. And is it not very favorable for DeAndre Hopkins and his people? Is that why the agent doesn't want it reported?
I'm going to give you my C student knowledge of the salary cap and propose it this way. You guys tell me if you think this is off base. If it's $12 million as a base, whether it's a check for a signing bonus of $6 million now and he gets the other $6 million during the season, unless they cut him before, what is it, week two, where you get the veteran guarantee, D-Mace?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to get the $12 million,
he's going to get
right?
the money, yeah.
So $12 million is, whether it's signing bonus or guarantee, he's pretty much guaranteed to get the $12 million unless he has a catastrophic injury during training camp or something, right?
I would assume so. And then how much then is guaranteed in year two?
Well, that's the key. That's what we don't know is year two. And I would imagine, like most deals of players that get this stage, if the Titans were smart, they're not really guaranteeing much of anything for next year. That's how I would do it.
And I would probably agree. But if that seems kind of like a given to us, then what does the agent not want out there? What's not being reported?
I'm not sure. Maybe we may be looking a little bit too deep into it at this point. I think what's out there is what has been negotiated in regards to, like, a base salary. Like, his base salary, this is what it is. And I think once he actually signs the contract, because he hadn't signed the contract yet. Seen this before, where a guy on one team signs, and all of us is like, oh, i.e. Terrell Owens, when he signed with the Baltimore Ravens, and then somehow, some way, I don't know how he got it out of deal, within days, I guess, and end up signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think they want to wait until everything is signed. Then the numbers will, all the numbers will come out, like incentives.
That is true. They haven't announced the deal
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. They haven't announced anything yet.
Right. Because we know the incentive.
Does he have to take a physical?
Has to take a physical. I don't think the Titans or any other team would sign an individual, especially after you've dealt with the suspension and an injury. They ain't going to sign somebody and not have them do a medical.
Right. And, I mean, if it was fully guaranteed, I think we'd know it.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, he has had the knee problem, and he has had the PED, so the physical may, you know.
I don't think the Tigers are worried about the physical per se, but
you
got to
take
done.
It. You got
to
do it.
It needs to be done.
TD will join us coming up next. We'll get his full breakdown of the DeAndre Hopkins signing, how we got to this point, how much better are the Titans today than they were 2 days ago pre-D-Hop. We'll get into that with TD Tron Davenport coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.